when there's a lot more demand than supply, that's a phenomenal thing. But then when that transfers and there's way more supply than demand, one of the factors in the 2008 housing crisis, we know what happens there. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everyone? It's been a crazy week in terms of finance. I don't know if y'all have been watching the news, as I'm sure you have. The Fed made an announcement 2 days ago that they will be raising rates yet again. And we all knew that was coming. There wasn't really a question of that. They've been pretty transparent so far in what they want to do in terms of raising rates. But we all thought it was going to be another 50 basis point hike, which when we had the previous one was another large hike back in May. But this time they surprised us all, except there was a leak a day or two before that it was going to be 75 basis points. And I think they did that so they wouldn't scare the markets as much, because on that day of the leak, you saw them pull back a little bit. And the day that they announced that it was 75 basis points, that they're going to be increasing the Fed funds rate, the market kind of was flat. So I believe they leaked that on purpose so the market wouldn't tank, quote unquote, trying to get their soft landing, which I think now is pretty inevitable. That's not going to happen. So what does this all mean? 75 basis point hike, the largest since 1994. That's a massive increase, right? It's something we weren't especially looking for. And they mentioned that they could potentially do another 75 basis point hike at the next meeting. On track to do that, they're going to blow past their target of the Fed funds rate. And we're going to be looking potentially above 3% on the Fed funds rate by the end of the year, which that was more along the lines, and we're going to hit that in 2023. And the crazy part of it is, to me, is they're doing this right to tame inflation. And historically, they haven't really been that great at doing that. And the biggest thing to me is the inflation that they want to tame, which is the main driver in the economy right now, is something that has little effects, that interest rates has little effects on. And that's things such as you and I going to the grocery store and buying food, energy prices, which then again affects everything. Interest rates have little effect on those things, along with, not to even mention, the supply chain, the problems driving the supply chain. Interest rates are not going to affect that. Yeah, they're hoping that overall demand does draw back so that these supply chains have a little breathing room to then fix themselves. Yeah, that could happen over the long run. But in the short run, there's major problems, right? You can't get enough chips, ports are backed up, amongst other things, that simply by reducing rates, it's not going to do that. And the whole oil, the energy, if you want to call it a crisis we're going through right now, the average price per gallon just hit $5 in the United States for the first time in history. And that's going to hurt a lot of people. It's going to hurt, especially the middle class, obviously the lower income class as well, but a lot of them, they get supported from different government policies. The middle class doesn't. It's going to hurt people. You know, going to work, it's going to cost you more just to go to work. It's going to cost you more to go buy food because energy prices pass in everything, right? From producing a good, producing food to shipping that good or that food, everything gets increased. And we've seen it go through the roof. Like on the last episode, I was talking about how we have inflation increased again to 8.6%, which we all 8.6%, which you all know that's not true. It's probably closer to somewhere between 15 and 20%. And gas is up 70% year over year, 70%. And the way that we fix this is by producing more oil, producing it, drilling, refining. So we have more oil in the market. And how that happens is oil companies increase their production. But I don't see that happening in the short run, right? A lot of people blame it on what's happening over in Europe, the war that's going on over there. And that's not 100% the reason why, not even really close in my opinion, right? We used to be the largest producer of oil under the last administration, right? We have the ability to open pipelines. We have oil companies have the ability to produce more. But the reason why they're not doing it is because they don't have faith in the way we're headed in terms of our energy policies, right? So the current government is imploring them, is trying to get them to produce more oil to help us all out. But at the same time, they're talking out the other side of their mouth by saying, yes, we need to increase oil production now, but you know, 5 years down the road, we want other alternatives other than oil, other alternatives of energy. So why would the oil companies then, when they're hearing both of those things, why would they make large investments right now to increase production knowing that in 5 years, the government is going to be completely against them and their demand is going to be way down. And they've just made this huge capital investment in their business that now there is fewer demand because now the government is incentivizing everyone to use other alternatives. So you can't really blame them for not wanting to make a large investment in to produce more oil if they know they're just going to get left behind in 5 years. So we really need some major policy changes on how we're going to operate here, right? Because we want them to produce oil, but we don't want to penalize the future because they're just not going to produce more oil if that's the case. So we're really in a weird position because everything's getting extremely expensive. It's all about affordability right now. And the biggest thing, are we in a housing bubble? Are we not in a housing bubble? Obviously, I'm going to touch on that because this is a real estate podcast. But I think first and foremost, it comes down to affordability in life, right? Because if you have a priorities, right? You need to eat, you need to drink, and then shelter, right? You need to take care of your family before you even worry about paying that rent or paying that mortgage, let alone try to buy a new house. So we need to take those things into account first. And we all know it's way more expensive to live right now. And something needs to happen about that. And it was so weird that at the FOMC meeting, so at the Fed's meeting at their conference after the conference after their meeting, there's a bunch of talk about what's going on with supply chains, what's going on with the war in Ukraine in regards to the reason why we're at in energy prices and inflation in general. There was no mention of 0% interest rates that we had a year ago. No mention of 50% increase in money supply in the last 3 years. No mention of $5 trillion in bond purchases. No mention of $7 trillion in national debt as the cause of inflation. There was no mention of that. It's extremely weird. Those are the main drivers why we're experiencing inflation right now. And the real turning point that we're going to see in terms of how deep and how long this recession could be, in my opinion, is the increase in rates on the national debt, the federal debt, and the carrying costs that will then incur because of that. That's going to be the real linchpin here. They do have about a month of runway right now where they do have a lot of cash from different tax policies, such as taxing crypto. They made a lot of money off that and other tax revenues they brought in, but that is going to be short-lived. So that's going to be the real linchpin, and we'll see what happens with that. But let's look at housing affordability, because I think that's why we're all here. You know, we're real estate investors, and let's just look at some numbers here. In January 2021, right? This was the heyday, right? 30-year mortgage rates were at 2.65%. And the average home price in the US was $401,700, which is still pricey, but with a low rate, it makes it extremely affordable. Now, today, it might be higher than this because it's literally changing every minute, every hour. But last I looked, the 30-year mortgage was at around 5.78%, maybe over 6 now, but that's what it was when I looked. And the average new home price is $570,300. That equates, assuming you're putting down a 20% down payment, that equates to a 106% increase in monthly payments on a new home from $1,294 a month to $2,671 a month. That could blow up your monthly budget. And we know most Americans run off monthly budget. And will this fit my monthly budget? Will this, which to me, that's yes, you should have a budget, but that shouldn't be your end all be all. You need a wider view on things and a more, not just going month to month and what's happening now, but you need to look into the future and plan accordingly. But with that being said, still, that could blow up your budget. That's 106% increase in a year, a little over a year. And if we dig deeper into it, we look at personal savings rate. At the beginning of, in March through April, it was 2020. We know what happened after that. Reached some all-time records because people weren't going out. They were staying home. They weren't spending money on travel, dining out, all that stuff. So they had so much extra disposable savings, more than ever. But now that's been dwindling down. And it fell to 4.4% in April. It's the lowest level since 2008. And I saw a number the other day that it was closer to 2% at the end of May, which if that's the case, that's the lowest level in a very long time. And I saw another report that said banks in the first two quarters of the year, one of their highest revenue sources was credit cards. People were taking cash out from their credit cards to pay for everyday life. And now credit card balances are at extremely high levels. This is all puts us all in a not a great position for those that are in that situation. Extreme high debt, using credit cards just to simply live, and everything's more expensive with no real end in sight in terms of, you know, squashing inflation, reducing prices. And one thing I think we all need to look at that most people don't in terms of housing bubble or not, because we see, like I've even talked about this a lot. We see that there's a shortage in housing units. My estimate was around 4 million. There's a lot of people that say it's more closer to 6 to 7 million. If we take into account future US population growth, so those that 4 to 7 million number is right in terms of today numbers. But if we look out into the future, it's actually closer to 1 million deficit, which is a huge difference. And that's because population growth rate, which was at the slowest in history, in United States history in 2021, at a 0.1% of growth. I mean, it has been steadily decreasing since the 1990s. And as the baby boomer population both transitions out of work, which is another huge problem for unemployment, as they transition out, because they're the ones, they're hard workers, they want to work, and they want to work in person, not virtually. On top of that, as they transition out, not only retirement, but as that population dwindles, there's the growth rate's going to decrease even more. It seems like the younger generations, mine included, are just not having kids at the same rate as before. And probably a lot of that has to do with the cost, which I don't blame them. It's getting more and more expensive to raise a family. And so, but this is something we need to look at in terms of real estate. And as anything, it's all about that supply and demand. And when it's out of whack one way or the other, makes a big difference. When there's a lot more demand than supply, that's a phenomenal thing. But then when that transfers and there's way more supply than demand, one of the factors in the 2008 housing crisis, we know what happens there. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And this doesn't mean I'm not pro real estate. I am pro real estate, but this is where you have to really make sound decisions, both where you invest, the price you're paying, the fundamentals. And I've said a lot, you got to stick to your guns, but you really do, especially with rates increasing to where they are now. It makes everything more expensive. And this is really when you want to focus on cash flow. And this is not cash flow to necessarily pay for your life and live that passive income life, which, you know, it's not passive income if you're actively operating. And I've said this many times, but this is a time to focus on cash flow to simply weather any storm that may be coming. And this is really important. This is not when you buy real estate to try to make a big bet that it's going to appreciate in 3 to 5 years. Yeah, that happened the last 2 years, but I don't see it happening to that scale in the next, you know, next 2 to 4. I don't see that happening. Hey, it may not even happen to that scale again. So this is not the time to be making those bets. So what's going to happen? Well, first, let's also look at where the S&P 500 is, because that's what most people look at for the market, right? Third worst start to the year, down 23% in first 115 trading days, only behind 1932 and 1962. Only 2% of the stocks in the S&P are currently trading above their 50-day moving average. That's the lowest since March 2020. And if you look historically, when you look back, when these two things happen, the market bounces back. Not always, but the majority of the time it has. But the question is, when does that happen? And is it prolonged? Is it short-lived? And that's something that we'll have to wait and see. There's a lot of factors. What's going on with the supply chains, inflation, geopolitical risk. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to, where are we at in terms of supply and demand? And currently, there still is more demand than there is supply. It's the simple fact. I'm not here to say like, this is the time to go all in and just buy. You still have to stick to your fundamentals. I don't see there being a huge correction. One, there's still demand, right? And yeah, prices will probably retreat a little bit. For sure, we've already seen in some markets. But with rates so high, it's all about the affordability factor. Don't necessarily look at the price, it's affordability. Even with prices coming down, say 10%, with rates continuing to climb, it's still more expensive. We're seeing it right now. So I just wanted to give you all an update on this, let you know what I feel. Personally, I think it's a great time, like I mentioned in last week's episode, to have some dry powder to get ready, because this is an opportunity that I think you have the potential to make a lot of money for you, your family, future generations of your family. But to do that, you have to be ready to take care of opportunity, be ready to take opportunities that present themselves, while also sticking to your fundamentals. Very important. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do at the next meeting. It's going to be interesting to see how the government reacts, or not reacts, but how they go forward in dealing with the oil companies. Because we do need more production. But like I mentioned, they're not going to produce more if you're saying in the next 5 years, we're going to be seeking alternatives. That just doesn't make sense. So to me, it's going to come down to those major things. But yeah, that's the update. Hope we got some value out of this. As always, if you did, please share it with someone else you think could get value. Also leave a nice rating or review that helps us get in front of more ears and eyes. But as always, thanks for tuning in. And this is the time not to be fearful. This is the time when opportunities are going to present themselves. It's the time to have clear mind and be focused so you know when they do present themselves. Because, hey, look, there's going to be a lot of opportunities that come and they're not all going to be the ones you should take advantage of. So it's going to be important to be calm. As always, stick to those fundamentals. This is the time we can all make a lot of money, change not only our lives, families' lives, generations of our families' lives to come. So let's get out there and get after it. All right, guys, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.